Hello and welcome to I Wish I Knew That About Songwriting, the show that brings you tips, tricks and techniques that we wish we knew as young songwriters. We're going to focus on interviews, resources and subjects that you will find useful and you can use them today. Thank you so much for listening and welcome to the show. Yo, this is not an album review. This is an album appreciation. Because when I heard this record, I felt like this was going to be one of my favorite albums ever. At 27, that's not really a feeling you feel like you're ever going to have again. The music I absolutely loved and stuck with me, and favorite albums, if you will, came when I was a teenager, when I was really discovering so many parts of myself in terms of how I feel about things, what I believe to be true or not true, all of these subtle things. But when this record hit me, Hugo by Loyal Kana, yes, I went with it. Had to be appropriate because it just felt like one of those gems, one of those albums that comes out and there was a claim for it. There was an incredible response because there should be, but I just wanted to throw in my opinion. That's what it is. It's my feeling. It's not objective. If you listen to the show, you'll understand I probably will want to throw in a few ideas and techniques and some of the things that they used beautifully. And I say they because the team behind the album were even more exceptional than what the product was itself. And you can see from the way they interact with each other, just why this record turned out so well, sonically, thematically, performance-wise, artistically, recording techniques and production, performance, lyrics. It's fucking incredible. It really is. And if you want to see a sneak peek, if you live in the UK, go on BBC Six Music and you can see Artist in Residence, Loyal Kana, with Nick Mills and Quez. And I was just blown away. Before we even talk about the record, I want to talk about the real reason you do an album. You can see it in that documentary. You can also hear it, hopefully in the way that I'm just talking about it, because these don't come along very often at all. And there was a moment at the end when Quez, I don't know how old he was exactly, but he spoke in a way, because he seems quite stoic and reserved and incredibly brilliant at production, at samples, and you can see it was built around his skill as well. And Nick Mills there with the engineering qualities, musical qualities, and Loyal was just, he's just a superstar, but incredibly humble. But there's a moment at the end when Quez says that he fell in love with music again and playing drums. Drums was a huge, huge part of this record. It had me air drumming. This is the crazy thing. It had me feeling like a metal record, like those rock records that I loved when I was a kid, when I was angry, I was confused, as I still am now. But he talked about that love of drumming, that pursuit of something interesting for production, those journeys. And I'm going to be a bit scrambled because there's so much in this record that I want to understand about why I love it. And there's so much in this record that's packed in. I'm not going to do track by track, but I'm going to pick out those that seem really obvious for me to explain my experience, not only emotionally, but also objectively, seeing how incredibly well put together these songs are. So I wanted to start with that sentiment that Hugo is that. It's a thing. It was recorded during lockdown, as so many other things were, but you wouldn't know it. There were none of those kind of encasing factors. And if you listen to the recording process, you can see how much it means to everyone involved. And that's something I want to iterate with my love for it as well. But I have rambled because it's an incredible, incredible album. This is purely appreciation. So if you're looking for a review or criticism, fuck off. It's not here. This is the place where I just want to package this, even for myself, just going, okay, bought the hoodie, literally listened to the record. But I remember going for walks and hearing the first track, Hate, just the sample, aggressive as hell. I remember seeing the video actually. But when I was going for those walks, actually a lot of it was playing football. When I was building my business, the last year I'd be playing football every day in this cage on my own, kind of in the dark, as you do. And when I found this song, Hate, it just felt perfect. As I said, it was that beautiful blend of metal appropriation in terms of energy, aggression, and anger, but put beautifully in this poetic spoken word rap, hip hop is what it is. And if we go from that first sample, which was actually derived from, I believe, like a 50s vocal arrangement or a 50s kind of country, maybe three or four women singing at the same time, but then it turned into that horribly aggressive and beautiful start to the record. I just think, okay, this is me. This is what I want to do. And then we talked about drums and hip hop. This is going to be connected because after that, and there's that first kind of breakbeat, if you will, that's where they came from. Hip hop was started kind of New York State, I believe, maybe not New York City, but on the project, this guy called KRS-One. So KRS-One was one of the first people to be known as part of the hip hop movement. There were many, many others, but he's someone that I've come into contact with. And there's so much in this record of hip hop in terms of the way it's done and what it speaks about that is worth noting. So breakbeats, particularly kind of James Brown breakbeats and samples, were the first kind of generation of hip hop that was, I think it was 80s, I could be wrong, but KRS-One speaks better about it than I do. But what I want to do is take that breakbeat, because in the first song, Hate, you've got the sample and the drums, just a taste, and then the drums really kick in. And I believe that both Nick Mills and Quez are incredible drummers. There's also a session drummer that plays in the sessions and also the live performances. But again, you have these people who are so, so, so fucking gifted working on these things and making them beautifully positioned and simple, because they could do incredibly dense arrangements. And actually there were so many other post-production and production elements that even Loyal Khan didn't know about, which was quite funny, but really just shows his humility and his ability to delegate to others. Because what he brings is absolutely fucking undeniable. He is a superstar. I could do a whole new appreciation of just him and what he does, and maybe I'll touch on it. But again, back to that idea of Hate, and you've got this incredible sample with a beat. So something you've never really heard that feels like a vocal, it's quite aggressive, it comes in and then you get the beat. I remember again, when I was exercising, walking, trying to click through a lot of things I was dealing with in terms of hate and of myself and others, and making sense of what I could be, what I'm not, and hating the parts that I don't have yet. That's what it felt like. And even writing the song about hate, you know, we're maybe in a world that, as much as we share everything from, you know, deaths, people falling over, to cats, to everything like that, we don't really talk about sincerity in that sense. Or we do, maybe it's not viral, it's kind of in smaller spaces that I haven't found yet myself. But when you talk about hate, you are honest. He lists all the things that he hates, all the things that he loves. That is so relatable. The detail of the lyrics are worth going and listening to yourself. I would encourage that with all of these. I won't bore you with it. But when you sing about that, or rap in his case, when you write a song about hate, we all feel that. Not many of us really explain it. And when you write so honestly, you actually open yourself up to vulnerability, sincerity, because you're vulnerable, because you're explaining things that maybe are not that safe to explain, the things that you hate, or you're processing these thoughts as we go. And this is something we've talked about on the show before, is write in a sequence of thoughts. If they are your own and they are genuine, which I believe this to be from Loyal or Ben, then you allow other people to step into that frame of mind, into your thought process. There's no better way to bring people into your world than actually give them the keys in the way that you're thinking. So this song Hate is incredible, and it starts to weave through the record from a really kind of brash opening about hate, and starts to sprinkle in kind of, I like to call it mixed racism, which you'll hear about on the following tracks. And it's a theme throughout: hate of others, hate of thyself, how that spreads, how that manifests, why it's important, why it isn't. But also my favorite lyric probably on the whole record, and there's an element of technical prosody: all that you can be when being black is playing ball or maybe rap, and they would say it like a fact. So Loyal has this incredible story. You know, having actually met Benjamin Zephaniah at a young age, that feels very much attuned and attached to coming up with a lyric like this: all that you can do when being black is playing ball or maybe rap. And when you listen to that on the record, because I'm just saying it, an idiot in a room on a microphone, but listen to the context, the way it's recorded, and what's beautiful, the prosody I talked about, the unity, the connection between things, is the drum beat. The way that he sings that rhythm over the drum beat is semi-genius. I'm not sure whether that was thought about. I'm sure it was. He said he seemed to kind of write the lyrics as he came in or in the corner while they're producing it, and then go for a number of takes, but not too many. So it's a very raw record. And Hate is an incredible, incredible song. And like I said, that's the one I wanted to jump in on, because it touches on so many things throughout. And what I want to bear in mind talking about this is the heritage of hip hop, KRS-One, those breakbeats, those samples, that love of what you're trying to say being important. Also the levels of production, Loyal, Ben as a rapper, but then also you've got Quez and Nick Mills. And you see that the complexity and depth of their musical ability, production ability, intelligence, being kind of refined and reverse engineered to make the most dense and beautiful elements, but appearing simple for someone like me to listen to and to dive into. So that's the first track, Hate, that seemed to me, it's like a knotted root of a tree, and I see his face in the music video, which is really aggressive, and you don't fully know what's going on in the video. And I think this is art. When you take something and every stroke is meaningful, that is art. This is not just music anymore. And that's why I got the hoodie. That's why I wanted to invest in that. And you see someone do that, and it obviously is a team. There are other producers and writers like Athey and Akek is worth mentioning as a human being. He comes on later as a sample talking about his work to combat knife crime. And again, the way that he puts together his rhetoric at such a young age is mind-blowing. So the people involved in this project are exceptional, pretty much to every single person. So Hate is that first track. And Imagery is an interesting one with rap, because he does talk about some of the cliche things in terms of the amount of zeros in your bank, but listen to the way it's done. Again, talk about KRS-One, the biggest thing you can talk about with his teachings will be men and boys. Not to do with age, to do with maturity, to do with mindset. That's that hip-hop movement, which is we are men, whether we are 13, 14. Like my cousin, he's 12, 13, he's a man, because of the way he looks after himself, others, his mum, his sister, the way he thinks, the way he moves in the world, what he's trying to achieve. That folds to me into this song, Hate, and the way that Loyal talks about money, fame, success, the things he hates, the things he doesn't like, same thing, things he loves, things he hates. When you talk about it in that way, in that context, and it's just threaded so beautifully, that's why I think Roots, threaded through the whole record, artistic interpretations and thought, that makes you a man. It's not about age, it's about the way you speak. Again, those KRS-One hip-hop things, they bleed through really beautifully. So that's a returning theme, particularly in the next song. So Nobody Knows. Again, samples-wise, I believe it's Quez. I'm sure Nick was involved, but just absolutely on point. And I know for a fact these guys found samples, but they also cleared them, bought them. They went through the due process. So that's something also to note, is that when you are using samples, make sure you have permission. People will be happy to share them with you, be happy for their work to be reused. Also, what might have happened, which was quite clever, is they picked samples that were no longer under copyright. I think it's believed it's 70 or 80 years unless it's renewed. So that's why maybe going to the early 20th century, those kind of first recordings, you might find something beautiful that does work quite easily for you. That was something I saw. But Nobody Knows, again, is that exploration. So it's talking about, you know, reaching a black man, he wouldn't take my hand, reaching a white man, he didn't understand. For those of you who don't know Loyal Khana, he is Guyanan. Guyanan English, from what I know. And you can see, you know, beautiful face, beautiful mixture of these people. Again, this is something that I found someone who looked a bit like me, who had a few of the same stories about me being at school myself, and someone would call me something, but because I was too white, I couldn't respond to it. But then there was part of me that was upset that they called me that. And that's this idea. So again, you reach a black man, he wouldn't take my hand. Reach a white man, he didn't understand. Might not exactly be the lyrics, but that idea, Nobody Knows, beautiful sample. Again, I cannot go through all of Loyal's lyrics, and I cannot go through all of the wonderful production elements from Nick and Quez and others. But please believe that that is, again, an incredible, incredible summation of these hip hop values with modern honesty and context knitted in, and a rapper who is absolutely at the top of his game and ascending and doing incredible work. Even Hugo, the idea, this is his dad's car, the car his dad used to drive around in, and Nobody Knows. It also is threaded throughout the record. Something I can relate to is really not getting along with your dad. But not in that sense, but more being scared that you are like him. This is the lyric. I'll try and remember it. But how can I hate the roots without hating the tree? How can I hate my father without hating me? That's the idea. And I've butchered it because you've got to listen to the drama. You've got to listen to the original version, the record. But it's so beautiful. I'm always in fear that I will turn out like the worst parts of my father. And also this beautiful thing that happens right at the end, there's a sample of their conversation, is then how do I get along with that person that has really damaged parts of myself, but also is so much like me? So maybe you can teach me. And there's this beautiful interaction, like, how do I get along with him? And there's this sample. We talk about samples, we talk about art, we talk about subversion, things you can add in that just bring beauty to what you're doing. And that's that conversation after having, I think, a driving lesson with his dad, and then talking about when they can hang out, and his dad's talking about, oh, he's got the floors coming. Just these day-to-day conversations. Because if you listen to Hugo as a piece of work, it's a piece of art, it's grandiose, it's beautiful, it punches people. But those simple things that come in between, those real life day-to-day things, just bring beauty and context. That first track, Hate, which is kind of this otherworldly hate, but then he's also able to pack that away. And through Nobody Knows, talking about, you know, how can I hate my father without hating me? He's got to pack all that away and look after himself and his dad. And he wants his dad back in the world. And these are things that I feel. These are things that I can relate to. And these are things that I can relate to. And that's the beauty of the record. It's not just that, but also if you take the external conversations they have, you know, they all are men in terms of how KRS and hip hop would see men, is that they look after their families. They are moving their way into having children and being conscientious as to how they move in the world, what they put into the world. That's why Hugo is a standout piece of art for me. And I wanted to attach myself to it. And in terms of my personal feelings towards it, mixed racism was brought up. Something that I've never been able to coin, or at least when someone coins it so beautifully publicly, you feel attached to that. The next track, we'll talk about that a little bit more explicitly. But there's also that element of, you know, hate thy father, hate thyself. So beautifully put. Not extremism. He does use the word hate, but goes, how do we get along? That's what he's saying. But really well, beautifully and aggressively put. That's what I wanted to say as well, is that through the record, there are times where it feels like a metal show, like live. You know, I used to play in a rock cross metal band, and some of the songs that he writes, they feel like those moments that get me moving. That's a beautiful hybridization somehow, through appropriation of those drum beats, production, aggression. Really, really, really clever. So that's the kind of gist of those first two, three. And the third song might have been the most impactful, because they were released. I listened when the first single came out, and then I jumped on from there. There's a song called Georgetown featuring John Agard. John Agard is known mostly for the poem Half Cast. Please go and watch Georgetown, the video. You get this incredible feature of John Agard as he is today performing his poem. And I remember my teacher at school in a beautiful, beautiful church. We'd go three times a week, suit, blazers. My white teacher, and I believe I was maybe one of three people who had any melanin in their skin at that school. Wonderful school. But my teacher got up in the middle of assembly, you know, we're all stood in our pews, taught his beautiful church and that normal kind of progression of our week as it was. But my teacher got up, Mr. Todras, changed my life. Mr. Todras performed with a Guyanan accent, Half Caste. And I was maybe kind of thinking about my day, and I just remember it shooting me straight in the head and going, wait, what? There are people who are talking about this. Benjamin Zephaniah as well, through my English class. I was like, wait, who are these people? John Agard, Benjamin Zephaniah. I didn't give a shit about the others at that time. I was trying to find out what it's like to be quarter caste, half caste. And that implication that maybe we don't feel the same, or you're not enough of this, you're only half of that. That really was something that was hitting me at that time, and trying to understand, you know, things that were said to me that would upset my granddad. But I'm not him, so can I be upset? And again, when you come back to Hugo and the way this is done, is it starts to try and address those, starts to unpick those knots. And when you hear Half Caste Symphony, that beautiful mix of black and white key in this context, and then Loyal comes in beautifully as ever in terms of the seamless production from that performance throughout, and then the unity of that. I want to kind of shy away from too many technical terms and what we normally talk about on the show, because I want to be a bit more sincere today, but just the way that that's knitted and taking the inspiration of that poem, which I believe Ben or Loyal discovered reasonably recently into the process a year or two ago as he was recording the record, then being inspired to write a really, really artful, specific, accurate song on that same topic, you knit that all together and you have Georgetown. And the video, he goes back to Georgetown and he's there. And obviously the budget for that is considerable, but these are the things that bring unity. Take something from an idea you have, or the aspiration of a financial asset, or maybe it was catharsis. You wrote a song because you felt it, and then you turn it into this. Not only do you get to become a financial asset like these songs, but it becomes a piece of art. That's that progression, is from kind of catharsis to expression to creation to turning into an asset through all the other forms. Then it becomes a piece of art. If you pay attention to all these things and knitting a theme throughout, themes is huge in this record, and borrowing from heritage and taking modern examples. You know, Athian Akek is as strong in terms of words as what KRS-One was saying back then, 70s, 80s. So knitting this line, and again, the way Nick Mills and Quez wrap the production, the engineering, the journey through the songs, it's a piece of art. And you see the way they hug each other and they love each other and they go through that record process and become closer and find appreciations in the other one. It's mind-blowing. And to be a part of that by listening, by buying the hoodie, trying to be involved, it just does feel like one of my favorite records ever. That's why I started this album appreciation series, is because, okay, well, I'm not into reviewing. I'm not into criticizing. If you work with me, I highlight in green when we make changes, not red or anything like that. I don't believe this is the space to be cutting people down. It's pushing people forward. Again, pushing them across that process of expressing something and turning it into something they can be proud of, maybe a piece of art if they're lucky, right at the end, like this. Also, one of my favorite lyrics, ADHD, like my life's one long game. I feel like listening to this record and the way he talks about ADHD and has done, OCD, ADHD, no CDs, if you listen early on to Loyal's work with Rebel Clef, I didn't realize I had it. And I kept meeting people that I work with in the band or at songwriting, Rainbowwood, and they were like, oh, I've got ADHD. And then they would express it, all right, this is because I kind of do this, I tend to do that. And they were kind of these things that they would do. I'd go, I do that. Wait, you? Oh, I do that. Oh, I feel like that. Intrusive thoughts. Okay, yeah, that's me, or need for order. It's not, it's a scale, it's a spectrum. It's not on or off. And this record was, again, at a time when I was really finding most things very difficult in my life and trying to put things together, make sense of them. Lots of things were leaving me. I didn't know at that time, but they were being pulled away from me. I was losing a lot in my life and understanding I probably had aspects of ADHD, and how do I combat that? A lot of work I needed to do on my relationship with my dad and myself. It's what it is, really. We're all selfish beings. And then that aspect of mixed racism, like, where do I stand on that and how do I get involved? And you've got guys like Athian Akek, who maybe like 17, 16, when they do that sample, they're doing that at what age? And they came from where? They had nothing like I did. Where are these people? How do I become involved? And we also talked about Hugo. Hugo is the name of his dad's car, but also Loyal talked about candidly in the BBC Sick documentary. He would have given up on the whole record and maybe music if it wasn't for a kid called Hugo, little Hugo he referred to, at his cooking school. And it's not what you think. It's not a cooking school he set up after, you know, recently to kind of, you know, let me just get a few of those green points in terms of charitable work. And I'm pretty sure as soon as he was profitable, the first thing he did is set up with a guy called Mikey, a cooking school for those ADHD, OCD. I think he even branched that out to those with anxiety as well. So Loyal is the hybrid artist in my eyes, in terms of executing professionalism, performance, connection with fans, touring, working hard, making records, but also taking as much time and his resources as he can to even out some of the problems in the world. And that's what happens when you get a record like Hugo. So I think you can't really read it, but take these words and go forward. Take these words and go forward. I'm 27. I spent my whole life obsessing over music and all the details, and I find it very hard, and I get very jealous and insecure, and I have to unpick it, and I'm like, all these journeys in my life. But I, at 27, heard this record and went, I'm going to take these words and go forward. I'm going to sprint. I'm going to see that there are people out there like this already. That blew my mind, and I felt like I went through a record that was made for me. As someone who is along that spectrum of mixed race, along that spectrum of ADHD, along that spectrum of difficulties with mania and mental health. And it wasn't boo-hoo. It wasn't poor me. I don't need that. I don't want that. It doesn't work for me and the people that I move with. But this record, it just felt like something we can be proud of. Like, I don't have the vinyl, otherwise I'd love to put it here and hang it behind me. But that felt like a mark, a brand. And if we talk about branding and we talk about how you unite people, give them a voice, like Kia Kemp's talked about on our spicy segments, this is it. This is it all rolled into one. And I cannot think of a better example. Sonically incredible, in terms of even the melodies put in with the samples or the use things that are not him. He's a rapper, so he works beautifully. Imagery, rhythm, precision, aggression, kind of different tones and deliveries, but and of course, wordplay. So subversion, converting cliches, making changes, incredible and thoughtful ways of writing lyrics. These are all ticked. The whole record has everything. Even though it's not a traditionally melodic record, it's all there due to the work of Quez and Nick Mills putting in those samples. Beautiful musicality as well, taking from the sample that Quez might have seen, as you see on BBC Six. Quez has sample, Nick Mills saying, okay, that's this. But then also not just that's this and sitting, how do I make those chords more interesting, leave more space, change the resolution patterns to then give Loyal something that he wants to work on and inspires him. And that just goes around. And I can't think of a better record recently. There are those formative records I go back to and they still blow me away. But this one is absolutely exceptional. And there are other songs. The way they talk about plastic on BBC Six, I can't really steal that, so I won't. I talked about it a bit on the show, so I'm going to keep it as we are now. But that, to me, is a record. For all the reasons I've talked about, the reason I went and bought this, this is not sponsored. That would be nice, but I was obsessed. I went deep diving even further into Loyal Khana, what he's doing, why he's doing it. Nick Mills, Quez, because of the level of the product, I actually became fascinated with everyone involved. Normally we go for, okay, what's he up to? I looked at the manager, I looked at previous interviews and saw what brought Loyal to write a record like this, and you see the progression. And truly, there isn't a better exponent of why we do a record. This is it. Everything is perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing missing. It's art. And then even when you do something artistic, things that you risk, things that you push, things that you try are never wrong. They're just part of the shape, part of the artwork. And this has been in me for a while. I ordered the hoodie a while ago, got hold of it, and had to. I wanted to do this because it felt important. It felt enjoyable. Yes, this is content. Yes, this is part of my business. Yes, this is part of everything I'm doing. But if this can be what drives the music industry, records like this that are designed to be given, to give people a voice, to give people a platform, to push people, to inspire them, to drive them emotionally, like myself, don't think they'll make any money on it. That's what they said, which is crazy, right? It's absolutely crazy. Of course, there'll be ways of doing so, but they'll go on tour. They'll make their gift to the world in other ways. Of course, some people will be paid. I'm not stupid. We can go into looking at that one day on a video, how that works. But even so, taking into the account that people were paid as engineers or producers, obviously Loyal has a career and they all put in together, you wouldn't know it. It felt like friends producing their first record when all of them are incredibly experienced and successful in their field as well. But I don't really have too much to say apart from that. Had a lot to say, but borrowing from the hip hop culture, men, this is it, being men and being sensitive, sincere, vulnerable, open and artistic with it, incredible. The skills on show, the top level, the samples, the choices, the productions, the mixes, all of that, the performances, again, raw, open. The way that vulnerability shared, that's it. The artwork, the branding, those things that come as well, but they're not just branding and artwork and marketing. They're part of a voice, part of an image, part of a people. So that's how I'm feeling about it. Plastic is incredible. Check that out. Their explanation of BBC Six Music. I also explained on the podcast, for those of you in the US that cannot get BBC Six Music. But just wanted to do this. Album appreciations. That seems to be the most impactful thing I've listened to in a number of years, 10 years maybe. And there are particular songs that might come through that really hit me. That is true. Or maybe an EP. But this album, every angle that I looked at it, it was bulletproof. And that just makes you want to be part of it. That's what this is. It's not cynical. It's not analytical in that sense. It's this is how you get every angle right. And people want to be a part of it. Some people will hate it, but they could never say it's not artistic. They could never say it's not beautiful. And some people will never hear it. But when they discover it, again, it'll be this really robust, thought out, sweated for over, I think it might have been a year or something like that. Incredible. And then all the post-release, all the marketing, all the work, the other producers, the writers involved, who I don't know as well, I'm sorry. But did my best to stay away from the techniques, but it's so well written that you can't. And there's so much on show for people to learn. And that is it. Hugo Loyal Khana, stream it, check it out, be involved if you're interested in any of those things. But again, for me, it was purely cathartic. And I remember to close going for a walk and it was dark. I don't know what I was doing, like, I don't know, shadow boxing or whatever, or getting it out. It was exercising those demons, exercising those demons of hate of myself, hate of the things that people said to me when I was younger, figuring out who I am, what color I am, where I'm from, or I'm not, and people telling me that. And then my relationship with my dad and myself, hating myself, ADHD, all of that coming out as I listened to the record. And it was like a therapy session that I listened to. And that is possible if you write records. People may never know you or may never speak to you, may never come to one of your shows, but if you can write a record that gives them an experience, which is incredibly hard, like I said, all the skills, the experience, the money, the changes, the features that went into this, not to be sniffed at, but look at the quality of it. There's none better in my opinion. That's all I'm going to say. So appreciate you checking this out. Again, questions or thoughts, shoot them here. We'll get back to you on the show. Send in song reviews. We love those. We've got that every month. We're going to do a segment. Thank you so much. Again, take these words and go forward. Create beautiful art that people can buy into. Bleed for it, sweat for it, and you'll be rewarded if you've put everything you can into it. Thank you. Hello there, sweet listener. Thank you for listening to today's show. And I just wanted to say, we do have an Instagram. I know that some of you guys are quite interested in just sending those private emails, and I promise you they are absolute gold dust to me. And I love receiving those emails when people get time to send them with their songs, with their questions. And mainly, I love your stories about how you're listening to the show, where you found it, what it means to you. Those are the things I'll probably take to my grave, to be completely honest. But if you want to be out there on social media, please get in touch. I wish I knew that pod on Instagram. We're going to be getting stuff up on YouTube as well. Reach out, send me a DM, send me a voice note, send me a video. I want to see you guys. I want to see your shows. I want to hear your songs. Thank you again for listening to the show. If you want to be involved and get full value for your creative process, please do so. But if you're one of those wonderful people that just likes to sit and observe, I know you're out there, and thank you so much for your attention. It really does mean a lot. So no need to get in touch, but if you feel like you want to be involved, please do so. Much love and bye-bye.